I'm Bob Park. I work at NIOSH in Cincinnati in the Risk Evaluation Branch. I'm going to be describing more briefly than even normally a study that's already been published, and then have some discussion about the implications, both scientific and also in terms of research strategy. There's copies of it back in the back and also up in front here. This is a study that was done by a large number of investigators. You can see in the reference at the bottom. I didn't get involved actually until fairly late in the process. Prior to that, I was basically an opinionated bystander, but I came in at the point of data analysis. Nothing to disclose. So you all know the facts. Breast cancer is an epidemic, poorly understood, a lot of evidence that it's environmental, but we don't know how. This is a case control study that was done in Windsor, Ontario, across the river from Detroit. It's an area with major automotive, petrochemical, education, healthcare, and agricultural sectors. Cases were identified at a regional cancer clinic. They have universal healthcare up there, and all the cancer cases pretty much get processed through one center, controls by random digit telephone contact. A detailed questionnaire was administered that covered both reproductive history and work history, as well as the usual demographics. So it was a very detailed collection of data. Frequency matching was performed with three-year stratification. We had prior hypotheses and developed some exposure metrics. So there's always questions of bias. In this case, the study was described to the people involved, the clinicians, the coders, as investigating the causes of breast cancer, genetic, lifestyle, and environmental, but not in more detail than that. Participation rates were pretty high for cases, less so for controls. And the exposure characterization was done independent of the individual case control classification. So we had prior hypotheses and focused on eight sort of major sectors, which probably can't see there, the farming, non-plastic, light manufacturing, petroleum, plastics, metal-related transportation, cleaning, and bars, gambling is a big casino in Windsor. And then within those eight categories, some of the smaller detailed categories that we were interested in. So we did a classification, just like Dr. Demby described, using NAICS and NOC codes for jobs. All the jobs that anyone ever reported, they could have up to 12 jobs in their history, and with detailed on each job, the dates and what they did in text. These were then NAICS and NOC coded. Then the final step was to do educated guesses about what each job had in terms of likely carcinogen or endocrine disruptor exposures. And this is a very generic kind of approach. Basically, people in the administration of an enterprise would have a 1. People working on the production lines would have a 3 in some sectors. This is looking at the plastics subsector, just to give you some idea. And then there's intermediate people that might not be on the plant floor all the time, technicians, nurses. So based on just general industrial hygiene prior knowledge, they were classified this way. So each job, each industry and occupation combination got a 1, a 2, or a 3. And we looked at various ways of classifying things, sectors of longest duration, duration in each minor sector, and also we constructed some cumulative exposures, and they were based on those ratings. So for example, low, moderate, and high were given values of 1, 0, or 2 in one way of doing it, and 1, 0, and 10. So we're trying to encompass sort of a wide range of possibility between what a high exposed job is and what a medium exposed job is, and then summed over time those ratings. So we got rating year calculations for each person's history. And it was a matched case control, so a conditional logistic regression with terms for demographics, reproductive history, and then exposure. So this is just very crude, no control for anything, but looking at cumulative exposures across the sectors that we were primarily interested in a priori, and already we see there's some interesting hints here of differences, farming, plastics, and even bars gambling. This is one of the major models, and this is the top part of it in case you want to read it. So these are the demographic and reproductive factors, and we see a lot of the things you would expect to see. For example, the number of years that a woman could have become pregnant is a very significant predictor of breast cancer. Number of pregnancies is significant. Education and income, very significant predictors, and smoking, which is a known risk factor for breast cancer. So it was good to see that we're reproducing things we already know. This is the bottom part of that model. So now every case or control is classified on what sector they were in the longest. And so we're seeing, for example, with plastics, a significant threefold excess among those whose longest duration was in plastics, automotive plastics in that case. And then several other suggestions. This is a fairly primitive classification. This is now looking at duration in sectors. So now a worker could be in multiple categories here. And we're counting up time spent in those subsectors. And again, we're seeing for automotive plastics, I'm just pointing this one out as an example because it's the most interesting finding, but quite a significant excess. So now we're estimating, for example, that 10 years in automotive plastics has an odds ratio of about 2.43, and quite significant. This is now using those measures of cumulative exposure, either based on a 0.12 or a 0.110 weighting for levels of estimated exposure to carcinogen or endocrine disruptor. So looking across all jobs in all sectors, with the first method, we see a 29% excess of breast cancer, quite significant. Using the second classification system, which makes a bigger distinction between moderate and high, see a 42% excess. And then in the major sectors, again, we see those kinds of excesses. So farming, where pesticides is an issue, plastics, possibly metalworking, and marginally bars and gambling excesses. We had available from this regional clinic classification on receptor status, estrogen receptor status, which is an important feature of breast cancer. So we were able to look again at the major sectors, classifying on the type of tumor, and there's some pretty interesting differences here. They're not necessarily statistically significant. There's some considerable overlap in the confidence intervals, but it's an indication that these kinds of studies can actually observe differences that might have mechanistic relevance in terms of getting to an understanding of breast cancer. Similarly, we looked at premenopausal versus postmenopausal breast cancer. And again, some fairly interesting patterns here, differing across sectors and across menopausal status. And in one of the earlier graphs, which I didn't point out, the food sector had an excess. There were 30 cases among 30 cases and 10 controls in the food sector. So that was kind of surprising. We didn't initially plan on looking at that, although within the food sector, canning is an activity there, and that's something that we're interested in on prior knowledge. So here we're actually looking at canning, and we're seeing a fivefold excess in premenopausal women. And this is estimated, again, for 10 years in what we're classifying as high-exposed jobs. So women on the line, whatever they do in canning, for 10 years with estimated fivefold excess. So what are the possible causes? Well, in automotive plastics, there's lots of additives in the plastics, plasticizers, flame retardants, and many of these things are suspect carcinogens and or endocrine disruptors. So this is kind of an important finding. With canning, BPA is an issue, possibly other issues in the plastic lining that is now put in cans. For the bars and gambling, certainly secondhand smoke. And then, of course, with farming, pesticides, and in metalworking, just all kinds of exposures. So this is interesting. We think that this demonstrates once again how important occupational studies are in getting at the causes of disease that affect everybody. We can think of two extreme scenarios here. It could be that all the plastic workers had more or less the same exposures, in which case to extrapolate from this to the general population would probably say that these same chemicals in the general population, which are at much lower levels, would contribute a relatively small part of the burden of breast cancer. On the other hand, if the specific conditions of the plastic workers are really only experienced by some small subset, then the implication is those same chemicals are in the general population at lower levels, but they may in fact be contributing a significant burden of cancer in general, breast cancer. We all are exposed to these chemicals at some level. So these are pretty dramatic findings. If they're valid, important things should be happening. If they're not, we should hear about it. We haven't had any letter to the editor type responses to this paper, except one in a different journal. And this was from a genetics cancer researcher who, I'm showing some quotes here, indicating that he doesn't think this is an important issue to be worried about. At the time that this study was released, the American Chemistry Council got quite excited. BBC was about to release a story on it, international BBC News, and the reporters were very excited. They were consulting with their scientific advisors, and they had a copy of the paper and so forth. Then word came down to not run the story. In Toronto, the newspapers were contacted by the American Chemistry Council and kind of harassed, but they went ahead and published nice stories, actually front page stories. So, it's always important to think about bias. There wasn't anything that pops out, that there were no outliers. The coding was all done pretty blind, so it would have to be pretty unusual, both outcome and sector-specific miscoding to generate what we're seeing. And the p-values tend to say that's improbable. We think the participation was pretty clean and unbiased, and we had some fairly specific prior hypotheses. So there's just some things that should be done. The study ought to be replicated, you would think, if the decision makers in cancer funding were paying attention, they would see this as a design that ought to be replicated somewhere. And not only that, there's things that ought to be done immediately. For example, in Windsor, somebody ought to be finding out what these plastics parts suppliers were using. They're making products specified by the big three auto industry. They know what's going in them. There's a history there. It's probably disappearing as we speak, but somebody knows. So this ought to be done. So the bottom line is, why isn't this being done? We all know that there's politics in cancer research. There's a lot of unawareness of the importance of occupational studies for informing the general situation, and then there's other sources of bias. So what we're trying to figure out now is how to light a fire under some of these organizations to shift direction. Thank you.